Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Hour number two of our radio program here on FNTSY. Dan Strapper, George Kurtz with you for, as I said, 60 more minutes. Going through week 8 in the NFL, some start sits in each and every game. We'll talk some DFS along the way. We'll talk some wagering as well. It is crazy. I should go back and just track overall how Vegas is doing on the over-unders, just see what hit, what didn't. I'm sure if I Googled it, I could find it. But that is, it's always intriguing to try to find edge. That is why we're here, trying to find edge in fantasy sports, trying to find edge in gambling as well. And if Vegas or if whatever book you use is slow on the pickup, where you feel as though they're just not pricing, not scoring these games the way you see them going, obviously take advantage of that. And as offense continues to explode, I had a good friend in DFS, Jay Walker, who has since moved on to do other work, but he made the point every week, find the games you think Vegas got wrong, find them and exploit them and play them and make sure that you have those takes. Take a stand and make a stand where you want to make your plays from. And that goes with gambling. That goes with DFS. Most of all, make that stand and say, this is the game I'm in on. I think Vegas is wrong. Or I think the general population is wrong. And I'm going to stack up there. So it's been a fun DFS season thus far. We'll talk a little bit about that at the end of the show. Up next, a battle in the NFC East. Not sure if the Giants are going to trade anybody else off after this game. It's possible. They are clearly looking towards 2019, maybe even 2020 with the way this roster is constructed. But 4-2 Washington Redskins, 1-6 New York Giants, a game that has all the markings of stay away for me. NFC East, bad team on one side, beat-up team on the other in Washington. But there are pieces here. There are pieces everywhere when we go through these games. 22.25 implied total for the Redskins, 21.25 for the Giants. A 42 over-under was where it opened. 43.5 is where it sits now. George, this is a fun one, I think, to dissect. This Redskins team, 3 weeks in a row, has shut down opposing running backs, but they've given up passes. And obviously, Barkley, great on the ground, but probably even better through the air. So I'm not necessarily scared off of Barkley here, but do you think this is a prime matchup? Do you think this is one where we see sort of the video game style play we've seen from Barkley so far this year?
Well, you mentioned the Redskins have been good against the run. So I think they'll keep him in check. You know, I don't think you're ever going to stop Barkley, but they'll keep him in check where he's not going to have a monster game here. I own Barkley in a couple of leagues. Of course he starts. I don't even think about it. Against anybody. I have no choice. There's no way I'm deep enough at running back not to start Barkley. I wish. But that's not happening. He goes here. I mean, the Redskins' front seven's good. It's not great, but it's good. It can make life difficult. You know, they may be better against the run than they are versus the pass as far as getting to the quarterback, but they can still make life difficult on Eli Manning. I think they're, as far as sleeper DSTs this week, I think Washington's one of them, because I do think they can maybe get a couple of sacks on Eli, maybe force a turnover, and you know, you never know what can happen after that. Once again, sleeper defense there. But listen, in some ways, same could have been said about the Giants before they started trading players off. I don't love this Washington offense either. As for the Giants, I'm not starting Eli Manning, of course. I'm starting Barkley. You're starting Beckham. Shepard, Ingram, Washington's good versus tight ends. Now, granted, they haven't faced a lot of ace tight ends, you know, but Ingram, even if you don't like him this week, who are you starting above him? I mean, are you deep enough that you're going to have somebody better than Evan Ingram on your roster? I mean, good luck. It's just not a deep position, so I think you have to start him. Reed's sort of in the same shape here. Who else is on your roster that you can think about sitting Reed? Giants traditionally don't have very good matchups versus tight ends. They let tight ends run wild. So I'm probably starting Reed this week. Once again, a hope and a prayer. that maybe this is the week Reed shows up, that Alex Smith actually looks for him. Strange year for Reed. Just strange. Sterling Shepard, once again, isn't that wide receiver three flex category for me? I think Eli will have to get on the ball. I think they'll have some success throwing the football today, tomorrow. The game was today. Too bad it'd be played in a nor'easter. As for Washington, Adrian Peterson goes, and that might be about it. I mean, really.
Yeah,
Chris Thompson's back on the injury report, so I'm going to be careful there. But who else are you starting on Washington?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And you made mention that if the Giants didn't sort of pick apart their team here, they might have been an interesting defensive play. I don't see a ton to love from the Washington side. I also don't see where these points are going to be scored. 43.5 seems low, but I see this as a low-scoring NFC East game. I think Barkley and Odell obviously are fine. I think Sterling Shepard's on the uptick. So I think he's a fun DFS look this week. You look at someone like Norman. Listen, he doesn't shadow anyone, so you might get Shepard matched up with him from time to time. You might get Beckham matched up with him from time to time. And obviously, Washington could change their mind and decide Norman's going to be all over the field. But I just don't see that happening here. So I have no problem going with either of them. And I like Shepard the rest of the season. I think Sterling Shepard's somebody that you're going to continue to see get more and more looks as this season goes on. So don't mind them. And as much as I hate praising a Penn State graduate or player, Saquon Barkley's just so much fun to watch. So obviously, he's a start in any league you're in pretty clearly, no matter the matchup. I don't know that there's really a matchup that you're saying he would not be in the lineup simply because of all the different things he can do on both sides of the football. Let's talk Cleveland and Pittsburgh. This is yet again another divisional game where I sort of throw that caveat out there of strange things happen. You have a 3-2-1 Pittsburgh Steelers team, a 2-4-1 Cleveland Browns team. And listen, I've said it a couple times, and it's not a if and but sort of comment, but I guess it is. Cleveland's a couple of plays away from being 4-2. They've had some rough luck with some refereeing. They've had some rough luck with some play calling. They have some rough luck with the guy who wears the headset and calls the plays in Hugh Jackson. This is a team that can play, and it's a defense that can play. And that's not to say I would be staying away from any of these Steelers offensive players, George, but I don't know that it's going to be the absolute onslaught from the Steelers that some people may believe coming into this one. 28.5 is your team total for Pittsburgh, 20.5 for Cleveland. It's a 49 over under, obviously. Pittsburgh -8 here in the spread. I like Pittsburgh to win here. I just think this one ends up being closer than maybe Vegas thinks it is right now, simply because of all the different pieces that go into it. How do you see this game playing out?
Yeah, I mean, Cleveland is a legitimate NFL team now. They probably should have beaten Pittsburgh in week one, if not for several miscues, shall we say. Otherwise, they win that game. The Steelers, I mean, it's hard to talk about Pittsburgh without talking about Le'Veon Bell and what's going on there. Fantasy-wise, I mean, if you own James Conner, you got to be like, thrilled. Because you're probably getting this week out of him. Maybe you're getting next week out of him now. Maybe the Steelers will put him on the exempt list when he shows up to give him a... Because we don't know what kind of shape Bell's going to be in. Is anywhere near close to football shape? It's been 2 months now since the man's played. So, I own Carter in a couple of leagues. And one of those leagues, I own Bell, too, though. And I don't know what's going to happen. I said, I don't know what's going to happen. I think fantasy owners really should think about divesting themselves of this situation. Because when Bell comes back... we're going to be talking about this a lot. Who do you start? Bell, Connor. Connor, Bell. Is it going to be a split?
Yep.
Is it going to be all Bell now? It's going to be a nightmare. But not this week. This week you're good with Connor. You're good with Smith-Schuster. You're good with Antonio Brown. You're probably good with Ben Roethlisberger, depending on who your other quarterback is. I say that because Ben was drafted as a number two in most leagues, not as a number one. So you're good with your normal Steelers here. Baker Mayfield, if you're looking for another streaming quarterback, he is an option. Pittsburgh's coming off a bye, so they've had a lot to look at as far as Mayfield is concerned. Bayfield. I sort of combined the names there. So maybe that helps slow them down some. Nick Chubb is a definite running back two for me, a strong running back two. I have no problem starting him. And I have no problem starting Landry and Njoku as well. I think they're both. I think Njoku is starting to come along this year now. Mayfield's looking for him more. Landry is Landry. He'll get his catches here. So I think points will be scored here. I don't think it'll be a monster shootout like we were talking about the other three games I mentioned, the Green Bay, Rams, KC, Denver, Tampa Bay, Cincinnati. But I think this will be the next tier down as far as points, where both teams may score in the upper 20s. Maybe Pittsburgh gets the 30. I think Pittsburgh wins the game, but points will be coming on the board. It'll be a fantasy-friendly game.
I agree there. And is Bayfield something he's been called? I feel like that's something the kids would call him because of the whole, like, she's my
I misspoke, so I had never heard that before. So I'm not taking credit for that.
I think you should. I'm going to now, from this day forward, George Kurtz will call Baker Mayfield Bayfield. And I will sing it from the mountaintops. That is all you, being hip and cool and young at heart, came up with that that nickname for Baker Mayfield. Nonetheless, I mean it. I like this game a lot, and I think the points will be scored. I'm just tempering that I think Cleveland is better than we might think they are defensively. If you look at DVOA against the pass, they're number one. They're number one against the pass. Now, again, you have to sample size. We're getting there. And obviously, this is a team that has certain opponents and who they've played, and you have to take all of that into consideration. But they've been really good. And on the run, not as well. They're 25th. So I love Connor this week. I may actually, you know, fade the wide receivers in this one, go with Connor in my DFS lineups and stay away. Hope to get over the field in ownership of Connor, and then way under, probably fading completely, Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster. Now, obviously, Brown's going to go for 15 catches, 200 yards, and three scores because I said that. But nonetheless, it is a game I'm looking forward to watching, though, too. I've become a big Cleveland Browns fan. Maybe it's because I'm a Jets fan to start with. I just love lovable losers. So I will watch the Pittsburgh-Cleveland game this weekend. Let's go next to Baltimore and Carolina. You made mention of this one before, George, and I want to give it its due here. Baltimore, potentially, or maybe not potentially, the best defense in the NFL, depending on what metrics you look at. They've been really solid this year. You have Joe Flacco, who's played fairly well. He's had some hiccups here and there. Their run game hasn't been overly projectable week over week. And then on the other side, you have the injury to Cam Newton and what that could mean, especially in this matchup. Let's see. It's a 20.75 implied total for Carolina, 23.25 for Baltimore, 44 over under. You have -2.5 in favor of Baltimore. Looks like the percentage of money coming in heavy on Baltimore to start from the book I'm looking at. How do you see this one? This could be a sort of a rock fight in Sunday's matchup. So one that I think the defenses may have more influence on than the offenses.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Baltimore, like I said, they may have the best defense in the NFL. Certainly it's top five, if not. So I think they'll be able to keep Carolina in check. I think Cam Newton, I do wonder, talked about it earlier, with the shoulder injury, will they not want him running the ball? Yeah, you know, we've talked about this before over the years. That you know, maybe it's better for his health with the concussion history for him not to run the ball, and he runs anyway. You know, some in some ways that's his game. He's going to run, even if you tell him not to, he's going to run. You know, maybe just they don't design runs, call running plays, that sort of thing there. But I think they'll keep him in check. I'm not a big on Funchess this week. I'm not big on Olsen this week. I'm not really big on anyone on the Carolina offense this week, including CMC. I mean, you look at Christian McCaffrey. The last couple of weeks have been quiet. You know, the teams are, I think, defending him, saying, hey, we're not going to let you beat us. You know, if Carolina's going to beat us and they're winning their share of games, it's going to be somebody else. You know, we're going to force Cam to throw the ball to Funchess more, whatever it might be. And I think that keeps up this week. So, you're starting McCaffrey, of course you are. You may have to start Funchess. Maybe you're not deep enough to sit him. But they're not mortal luck guys who I think are going to win you weeks this week. I think there's going to be regular plays here. So that's my issue there. With the Ravens, Alex Collins isn't getting a ton of run here, but he's still getting into the end zone now. I think Javarius Allen does have some value, but it's a flex play PPR league going on there. Flacco's been solid. He's not someone who I would put as a streamer this week. I know some people like him this week. I think Carolina's good enough way to keep this game in check, where he's not going to have a monster week. There are other streaming quarterbacks I'd rather have over Flacco. We've talked about them earlier on the show. John Brown, Michael Crabtree are both in play here. Brown does need the big play, but he seems to hit it more often than not. But if he doesn't, you're sort of stuck here. Crabtree and Flacco finally, last couple of games, seem to be getting the chemistry down here, where he's catching his share of passes. Brown's the big play guy here. Crabtree's more everything else, the underneath guy, running the medium routes, the intermediate routes there. So I like both to a degree, but once again, I'm not in love with anybody on either team in this game.
Yep. No, I hear that, and I think you make the good point about Crabtree. I know earlier in the season he had a number of drops. It was just struggling a bit with Flacco, and you say, well, was it Flacco? Was it him? On the year, he ranks number one in the NFL for drops, and it's only listed at six, and it's almost a subjective stat to an extent, depending on where the pass is thrown and what was considered a catchable ball and the like. But six drops, number one overall, just ahead of Keelan Cole, who's in second with five on the year. But I have seen, to George's point, over the past couple of weeks, more consistency out of Crabtree. So we're through the 1 o'clock. We'll talk about the 4 o'clock in the next segment when we'll also open up the phone lines to anyone who wants to call in with a question. 844-843-6879. Always, you can tweet at us at FNTSY Radio with any questions as well. But George, you have your three televisions. You have your man cave. What three games will be up on those TVs most of all for these 1 p.m. games?
Well, I do have my three TVs, but I can't choose. Only one TV can choose a game. That's the way DirecTV works here. You can't get three different games. But I will have two local games. I imagine, obviously, local games means Giants and Jets will be on each have a TV. And as far as a game I'll be flicking back and forth with, well, Tampa Bay Cincinnati, because I think that's going to be extremely fantasy-friendly. Denver KC, same thing here. Even Pittsburgh, Cleveland, I think a lot of points are going to be scored there. But I don't think there's a great game as far as an NFL game, a game that you have to watch. Some weeks we get that. I always look at for big NFL games, that could determine a playoff spot, first place in the division. I'm not seeing that. I mean, I think the best game, you look at the slate here, is it Seattle, Detroit, both mid-range teams here? I don't think it's the number one game here for me. So I think this will be a fantasy-friendly week, just looking for the points in those KC, Denver, Tampa Bay, Cincinnati, and Pittsburgh, Cleveland. I want my fantasy points.
Well, you got what I need, George. You got what I need. You say he's just a friend. Dan Trevor, George Kurtz here on Fantasy Sports Today. Plenty still to get to in the final 40 minutes. We will talk about the 4 p.m. games. We'll talk daily fantasy. We'll talk specific wagers that we're looking at for week number 8. Plenty still to get to right here on Fantasy.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Dan Schreiber, George Kurtz here on Fantasy Sports Today. Don't forget, as always, want to remind you, the DailyRoto.com NBA Lineup Optimizer is now available. That means that you can use the same tools and projections that DailyRoto.com NFL premium subscribers are using to win each week for NBA DFS contests. You've heard a lot about the DailyRoto.com NFL DFS Optimizer here on the Fantasy Sports Network and how its subscribers are winning tournament prizes on FanDuel and DraftKings in the thousands, hundreds of thousands, and the seven $1 million winners they've produced. Well, now you can double your pleasure and cash in on the NBA Daily Fantasy Party 2. If you're playing Daily Fantasy Sports and you aren't using the Daily Roto tools, projections, and optimizers, you're doing it wrong and you're at a competitive disadvantage. So go to DailyRoto.com, click on Go Premium, and enter the promo code FNTSY for a special discount and start winning today. That's DailyRoto.com, click on Go Premium, enter the promo code FNTSY for a special discount and start winning today. DailyRoto.com, the site where millionaires are made. George, we roll on to our 4 p.m.s. There are three of them this week. Colts, Raiders, Packers, and Rams, and San Francisco and Arizona. Just saw in one of my other Stomping Grounds Slack chat, a user shared this. On Sunday, Los Angeles will be the first city ever to host an MLB, NFL, NBA, and NHL game on the same day. All four games will be played within 5 miles of each other. And we all know how great the traffic is controlled in L.A. to begin with. So that's going to go swimming. Sure. I assume people will have helicopters to fly from one to the other. But that's pretty crazy to hear. Obviously, with the Dodgers winning, that'll force a game five. We'll see what the matchup is after tonight's game. But that's insane that all four pro sports will be going on at the same day within 5 miles of each other there in Los Angeles, George.
That's actually pretty cool. That'd be fun. You know, it's a great sports day if you're in LA sports fan. You got a little bit of everything there. Something's going to make you happy. It's funny when you were talking, I was thinking the same thing. Oh, what a swimmingly lovely day that'll be for traffic. That'll be fun. I mean, I want to say that the baseball game would get the most play, but it'll be the football game. And I think it's generally the way it is. Even though LA, they haven't had a lot of football there over the last few decades, but that's the game I'm. One of the big games of the week, right, that we're going to be talking about here, L.A. Green Bay. I think Jared Goff's an interesting play here as far as – I don't think Green Bay can stop anybody. I think the defense is terrible. So the only thing I'm worried about Goff this week, Dan, is that this becomes a Todd Gurley game. You know, the Rams keep reminding me of the Cowboys offense of the 90s with Troy Aikman. Aikman could have thrown over 30, 40 touchdown passes a year, but they didn't ask him to do that. They kept asking him to hit Michael Irvin or Jay Nowacek, they'd get the ball inside the 10-yard line, and then Emmett takes it in. And that's exactly what's going on this year. You know, go with the Rams. You know, Goff gets him to a certain degree, and then Gurley runs it in here. So that's always my worry with Goff as far as fantasy is concerned, is that it'll just be another three touchdowns for Todd Gurley and only two for Goff, and only two. But in today's NFL, that's not good enough for DFS. You know, that's just not good enough. You need more than that. That's why as far as when I do my DFS lineups, I almost have to go with Patrick Mahomes and then work my way down.
Yep. I don't think you're incorrect there with at least trying to get that upside for sure. We want to go to the phones. Good to hear that Kenny's back. Kenny from Philadelphia. How you doing today, sir?
How you doing, Danny? How you doing, Jersey?
I'm doing good, Kenny. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Mr. Blue Line here. Let me get to my point. First, I got the question. Let me get the question out of the way. This is actually pretty sad. I already have I have James White in both my season long, so I'm already starting him. So I need two out of these three in the PPR: Carlos Hyde, Chris Godwin, and Hogan for New England. I need two.
Ooh! Wow, this is a much more difficult question, Kenny. Usually, you guys are kind of a. They're easy. Hyde, rough. We talked about him earlier. Rough matchup against Philadelphia, man. Godwin, I'm going with Godwin here. It's just too good. I think it's a lot of points going to be scored in that game. Hogan against Buffalo. Hyde. I'll go with Hyde. He's the safer play here. But I could ease if Gronk is out. If we find out tomorrow that Gronk is out here, then I think I'd probably switch to Hogan here. Buffalo looked terrible against Indianapolis last week on all facets of the game. But I'll play it safe with Hyde unless Gronk, we don't think Gronk's going to play. Then I'll go back to Hogan.
All right, I got a point on D-Jax, and I just two more things to say. The reason I thought that DeSean Jackson would have been an option, I know that him and Jameis haven't connected, but the point that they moved Godwin to the outside leaves D-Jax. He gets the free safety or the safety, which is like, I guess, the third best in coverage. So, I mean, his routes are long, so that's why I thought that he would have been probably a little bit better. Obviously, he was better with the other quarterback, but because him and James haven't connected yet. But just a point on that. On my my midseason bets, I got Oakland at 8.5, got them under. I'm probably going to win that. Philly 10.5 under. I'm probably going to win that. I got my Saints over at 9.5. Of course, I'm going to win that. The only two I'm kind of questionable about. Of course, I got the Bengals winning the division at 17-1, and I got San Diego winning the division at 10-1. So, everything, those two are kind of up in the air. I feel pretty good about the other bets, and just want to run off some DFS plays there for you guys.
Sure, go for it.
I like the way he was maybe. Kenny's maybe going to win the Oakland under 8.5. Yeah, maybe.
No. I'm going to win those. The two I had a question about was now that Pittsburgh's back. The Cincinnati went in the division, and then the Chargers went in the division. Those are two I'm pretty questionable about. But I think this is the weekend that either Big Ben or Aaron Rodgers are going to break the slate. Aaron Rodgers got the late afternoon hammer here. It's probably going to be a lot of points scored that game, and I don't think anybody's going to play Ben and AB versus two. Everyone's looking at Mahomes and everywhere else, but I think those guys are definitely You might pair Ben with AB or pair him with Juju. Juju seemed to do good against the Browns or whatever, so I definitely like those guys. What do you guys think?
I'm not on Pittsburgh this week. I've said it before. I like Connor. I don't love the wide receivers. And with that said, play them by all means, because now I'm locking them in for gigantic weekends by talking down on them. But I see Cleveland's defense as being good enough. That doesn't mean that AB can't get his. You know, he's just so talented, and we all know that. Not breaking any news there. But I do think Aaron Rodgers, we haven't really talked in depth about the Green Bay side of that game. I love that play. And that's the play where I think you go with Rodgers on his own. Let him, you know, don't care pairing him with anyone. I think he's going to be chasing that entire game. And he's somebody who can do it. You know, he can put his team on his back and throw for 400 plus yards and five TDs in a matchup that you may get lower ownership on, just because people see the Rams and for some reason think their defense is good when it hasn't been over the past few weeks.
Right, that was my overall point. Of course, I love the Bengals. You know, I'm a closet Bengals fan. But anyway, of course, I love the Bengals. Maybe Tyler Boyd, Barkley. Of course, everybody going to play Gurley. What about that Jets tight end, Hernan or whatever? What do you guys think about him at the cheap option?
I can't play any Jets at this point in the season. But what do you got there, George? Again, we've talked about tight ends, some cheap tight ends here. Any thoughts there?
Chris Herndon. Okay. You cheap tight end. That's where you're going with here. I get where Kenny's coming from, though, because it's only Jermaine Kearse right now. So if you need a cheap tight end, it was allowing you to get some of these other expensive players in your lineup. Absolutely. I can actually get on board with this, because you're looking for a dartboard, though. You're looking to save some cash here. So I can get behind it. It's not something I would do, mind you. I think you can, I would look to do better, but I get the logic here. Once again, if you need to save money here, I don't mind this. The Jets have no one else to throw to.
All right, three defenses real quick, and I'll let you guys go. I know you guys are going to get to the Indy Oakland game, but I like Indy as a streamer defense, KC, and of course the Deadskins, of course. So that's all I got. Hey, good luck, y'all, and I'll be talking to y'all next week again. All right.
All right, Kenny.
Be good, Kenny.
Always good to hear. Always good to hear from you. And I appreciate the laugh there. It's a sad state for the New York Jets right now. We go back to the phones. It's Art in Tampa. Art, you're on with Dan and George, Fantasy Sports. Say, how you doing this morning?
I've got a 12-team half-point PPR. I need help with a flex position. I got Duke Johnson, Willie Snead, Taylor Gabriel, Greg Olsen.
Duke Snead, Gabriel Olsen. All right, we're going to take Duke out there. He's not going. I'm not taking Snead either. Olsen, he's a name player right now. You're going to have a hard time convincing me that he's completely healthy. It's a rough matchup against Baltimore. He's old and slow right now. I think Gabriel's the easy choice here. We talked about it earlier. Once again, Jets, no secondary. It's beat up. Either these guys play. Allen Robinson may be out, which means Gabriel can get more targets than normal here. I'm going with Gabriel pretty easily here.
All right. Thanks, guys.
There you go, Art. Thanks for calling in. Always feel free to give us a call back. Follow us over on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. George, I do want to touch on Kenny's Green Bay Aaron Rodgers call here. You're talking a lot about the Rams side, which with complete good reason because of the matchup and the high upside for Todd Gurley. But this is a game I do love, Rodgers. It's a 23.5 implied total, minus 10 for the Rams. This, or minus 9.5, I guess, at this point, opened at minus 10. This has all the trappings to me of an Aaron Rodgers ceiling game where he just has to try to put the Packers on his back. Now, obviously, what can come with that is interceptions and boneheaded plays, but that's not who Aaron Rodgers is. This feels like one where Rodgers could really break the slate. I don't see it for Ben. I do see it for Rodgers. What do you make of Rodgers and the Green Bay offense?
Not to be a smart ass, but that's what I am. What game doesn't Aaron Rodgers have to put the Green Bay Packers on his back? I mean, really, that team is nothing without him. The defense is bad. They have no running game. It's a shame that Rodgers has that knee injury, but we can't see him be really the Aaron Rodgers. And I'm curious, Dan, after the bye week. Now, he mentioned before that he wants to get rid of the big brace, but it may not have been possible. But let's know that knee injury is pretty bad. Even 2 weeks wasn't going to be enough to get that under control here. I agree with you. He's going to have to score. This game smells to me 42-34. Somewhere around that, right? Yep. They just keep whoever has the ball last. I just think the Rams have a good enough defense where they'll stop Rodgers once or twice. I'm not so sure the Packers can ever stop Goff and Gurley. I think they can almost score at will here. This is why I think the Rams win the game here. But I think Rodgers is going to have a fantastic day. You know, easily 300-plus yards. 400 wouldn't shock me. Four touchdowns? None of that surprises me here. You know, I just think the Rams are a better overall team here. You're starting Rodgers. I mean, you're starting Devontae Adams. Geronimo Allison's back. He's certainly in wide receiver 3 flex range. Randall Cobb is back on the injury report. So I'm probably staying away from him unless I hear good things. He's the one guy I'm worried about here that is just not still not completely healthy here, even after the bye week. So he's the one guy I worry about in the offense. I probably can't go with MVS, Valdez-Scantling, because I don't know. You know, now that Allison's back, I don't know how much run he's going to get, so probably going to pass on him. Jimmy Graham has to go, even though he's been disappointing this season. I'm not touching the running game. All right? I think Aaron Jones, like most of us, I think Aaron Jones is the best back there. But Mike McCarthy won't go with them. He keeps using Jamal Williams. And I get it. I get why he does that, because Jamal Williams is much better in pass protection. And even though Aaron Jones is the best back, we're not talking Saquon Barkley here. We're just talking the best back on Green Bay. But you got to protect Rodgers. That's where your money's made. It's where your bread's buttered and all that crap. So I get that. I just think, that, like I said, points are coming here. And they're coming hard and fast. And I said, there's no way I'm not hitting this over-under.
I see it. Yeah, I just see a gigantic total here, a gigantic score. This is a fun game. I'm looking forward to it. Not so much necessarily with the San Francisco Arizona game at the same time. So I will, if I had three TVs going, I'd shut off the third TV so I didn't have to watch the Arizona San Francisco game. 2-1-6 teams here, George, that are going nowhere fast. Maybe this is a week Josh Rosen gets it going, maybe, against a porous San Francisco defense, one that ranks near the bottom in most defensive categories on the year. Overall, 23rd against the pass, 18th against the rush over on Football Outsiders DVOA. Overall, is this, obviously there are some pieces here. I guess you're starting David Johnson if you have him, obviously. But beyond that, like, what is this a game you even care about? What do you make of this one?
Well, Dan, I have to care about it. You want to know why? Because you mentioned I have three TVs. Well, there's three games.
Yep.
Well, guess what? It'll have to be on one. It's one of those times where I wish there were more games at 4 o'clock, you know, because I wouldn't have to pay attention. Okay, what are we looking at here? You're not starting Beathard. All right, Breed is banged up. Raheem Mostert. By the way, Dan, did you see Matthew Berry's rant after week 6?
Yes, I ended up, you had brought it up separately. I ended up going back and watching it, yes.
That is the funniest thing I think I've seen all year. We've all been there. Yeah, but, you know, 1 point. Do I get that point? No, I don't get that point. I might have flipped out, too. I mean, for those who don't know, in week 6, Matthew Berry coming into that Monday night game, San Fran, Green Bay, needed 0.9. So he literally needed 1 point from Alfred Morris to win his week. It's in the Scott Fish Bowl, for those who are wondering. He doesn't come out and say it, but that's the league he's talking about. He needed 1 point to win that week, and he didn't get it. Morris only got one carry in the game, and that carry ended up being called back. So he didn't get his point. So funny stuff, though. The rant is epic. It's hilarious. So you should go watch. You can Google it and watch it if you want. Matthew Berry, epic rant, Alfred Morris. But I think Mostert's going to play again this week somewhat. The bottom line is this. I don't want to touch any of the backfield, San Fran. I don't want Breida this week. I don't want Mostert. I don't want Alfred Morris. If Roger Craig comes back, I'm not starting him either. I'll pass. Ricky Waters, no. I just don't think it's going to be – it's just too much spreading the ball around in the backfield. No, thank you. Marquise Goodwin, probably going to see a whole lot of Patrick Peterson. So that's going to limit what he can do this week. Pierre Garçon's likely out for the game. Bottom line is I'm not touching the San Fran offense. Another reason why I don't care about this game, because there's nobody to look for here. For Arizona, they fired the offensive coordinator. They're going with Byron Leftwich. Yes, the former quarterback. He can't do any worse. I mean, Get the ball with David Johnson in space. This is not rocket science here. Okay, if the teams are loading up to stop him in the box, then get him the ball in the flat. That works. Johnson can catch the ball. He's really good at catching the ball, actually. You would think they'd be able to figure this out. And that's it. You know, I know that the 49ers have a bad secondary, really bad, but I don't know if I can go Fitzgerald or Christian Kirk. They'd be low-end flex plays for me if you have nothing else. And you're looking for that, want to hit that lightning in a bottle. Kirk, I could see in a DFS. Once again, save some money there, going to a lower-end player here. Maybe he hits it big here, but it's just so hard to trust Josh Rosen. It's hard to trust this offense right now. And you don't know what. I mean, you just don't know what Byron Leftwich is going to bring.
Right. It's almost a complete unknown because he's never done it before and has a really bad offense. So it's not like he's getting installed where there's some bad play calling and they just philosophy change. This is an offense that is void of almost talent at almost every position other than running back and potentially quarterback. The jury's going to be out on Rosen for a while here simply because he doesn't have anyone to pass to and the offensive line is so bad. So I'm staying away. Obviously, ownership-wise, can change that to a David Johnson. Maybe the change is enough to make it work, but plenty still to get to here in our final game. We'll cover in the final segment, and we'll talk some DFS, and we'll talk some wagering as we close out the program here on a Saturday morning. Fantasy Sports Day, Dan Straver, George Kurtz. As always, tweet at us at FNTSY Radio. We'll be back with more. On the other side of this break, talking week 8 in the NFL. Back after this.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
As we count down the days to Halloween, George, are the kids dressing up? Do the kids dress up still?
Yes, they do, Dan. Yeah, my kids, they enjoy Halloween. I have a 12-year-old and an 8-year-old. The 12-year-old's probably borderline done with it, but the 8-year-old still loves it. I think one's going as a unicorn or something like that. And sure. The other one told me what she's going as, and I don't remember, to be honest with you. But they'll dress up, and you know, I live on a long block. We don't really only hit my block, but man, they bring home so much candy. I could open up a candy store, you know, with all the candy they get. The greatest thing though is, this sounds terrible, but my youngest has a peanut allergy. Not a major allergy like some kids have, which is unfortunately, but she has a peanut allergy. So you know, we get all the candy at home. I go, oh nope, Dad's got to go through the candy, make sure everything's safe. You know, I go through the candy, and listen, of course I take the peanuts candy out, but listen, I'm taking Kit Kats out, man. Twix is out, man. I love Twix and Kit Kats, man. These are mine. Nestle Crunches, oh, yeah, no, Dad's got to take these. Not good for you. So, you know, put them in a little bucket in the freezer so I can have my candy.
That's it's amazing. I hear you, but I do the five-finger discount with my daughter's Halloween bags for
sure. We all do it. Stop acting like you don't.
Oh, no, exactly right. I just enjoy the peanut allergy leading
to Milky Ways.
Oh, yeah. Well, that is my candy of choice. The Milky Way, the caramel and chocolate mix can't go wrong for me. So Milky Ways, Rolos, all down the line there.
I don't see many Rolos. We don't get many Rolos.
You don't get Rolos from a Halloween thing. I guess it's the individually wrapped idea. You have to open up a package and then put them in, so people don't really do it. I do find our neighborhood here in Massachusetts is one that people get dropped off into from other parts of the city. So, like, you get people who are not from the neighborhood who get dropped off, and then their parents meet them on the other side sort of deal, and they walk through. We have hordes of children running around, hordes. And a lot of the parents walk around with coolers behind them, drinking the whole way. So it becomes
what are they drinking, Dan?
Hot apple cider, George. Hot apple cider the entire way.
We're not talking an adult beverage?
Oh, we're talking adult beverages. Lots and lots of adult beverages.
Okay, that's what I'm asking here.
Yeah,
you know what we get here that annoys me? We actually get these parents, and I mean, how lazy are you that'll follow their kids in a car?
Yeah.
Because you can't get off your ass and walk with them? I mean, wow. This amazes me.
Halloween may be the most exercise I get all year while looking around. anyway, let's finish out the 4 o'clocks here. Minnesota and New Orleans, 4-2-1 for Minnesota, 5-1 for the New Orleans Saints. This game is at a 52 open there and has stayed there, but we've seen some line movement from the individual team totals. New Orleans went up to 26.5 from 24.75, and the Vikings have dropped to 25.5 from 27.25. -2.5 favorite for the Vikings. This is a game, obviously, that we could see breakout for the Vikings, for some big offensive totals for the likes of Kirk Cousins and Thielen and Diggs, and even some of the other Kyle Rudolphs of the world. What do you got here? It seems like a go for everybody, at least from the Viking side.
Well, this is your game of the day as far as the NFL game, but it's the night game. I do think there's some revenge factor here. I think New Orleans is still pissed at what happened last year. Marcus Williams making the horrific, one of the worst plays in NFL history, in my mind, as far as the route he took or the angle he took to tackle Stephon Diggs. He didn't even need a tackle. Just push him out of bounds. Just hold him up. I mean, it's terrible. Terrible way not to go to the championship game there. But anyway, I do think there's some revenge factor here. I think New Orleans feels like they got ripped off, that they got robbed, which they did. Kamara and Ingram. Minnesota is one of the best teams in the NFL at stopping the run. I think they'll be able to keep Ingram in check here. Kamara, you're still starting, of course. Ingram comes into low-end running back 2 territory here, so be careful there. Obviously, you're starting Breed. You're starting Michael Thomas. Can you go any further than that? You know, Tre'Quan Smith, Cam Meredith, Ben Watson. My answer pretty much is no for all three here. You may have to. You know, but if, I think I'm looking for in other directions if I can, which is, of course, the answer for most of these questions here. It depends on who else you have on your roster. We just tell you guys that we'd rather not start. I don't see big gains coming from any of them. Cam Meredith barely targeted last week. Tre'Quan Smith was okay, and I like Tre'Quan Smith long term. You know, I do. Ted Ginn's out. He's on IR, so I do think there's going to be some run here, but not this week. I think we're looking to get back in that dome here, get New Orleans back at home. For Minnesota, no Dalvin Cook again. Latavius Murray is a play. I don't think that's shocking to anybody. Kyle Rudolph not having the year we expected with Kirk Cousins. We talked about that earlier, but probably still a start here. And Thielen and Diggs are always a start. Minnesota's really an easy team. You know, you're starting the starters. They're always in there. There's really not a lot of, do I start this guy or not this guy? No, you start Diggs, you start Thielen, you start Rudolph, you start whichever running backs is starting, and Cousins each and every week. They're really an easy team to analyze here. You're always starting those guys. They put up points.
I have to apologize. I skipped over potentially the worst game of the slate, which is the Colts and Raiders.
No, you didn't. I mean, second worst day, but it's not the worst day. We got the worst game. We covered that really well.
What I guess quickly here, anything from that contest worthwhile to talk about?
I mean, I think if you're a Raider fan, right, I feel bad for Raider fans, which I know is an oxymoron because most of them are complete assholes. But I feel bad for them because the Raiders aren't playing for Oakland. They're playing for Vegas. They're playing for when they're moving to Vegas. I mean, all the moves they made are for, you know, because they're rebuilding a couple of years down the line. They want to be a good to great team, or at least the team that's on the rise when they go to Vegas. You know, and it's this team, I don't know who wants to play for this team right now. You know, as far as the players on the team, they got to be disillusioned with what Gruden's doing. You know, Gruden caught a lot of flack anyway because, you know, the break, you know, how long he'd been out of the NFL for. And now he's proving that, wow, maybe it works out, maybe it doesn't. But it's going to be a few years. And most of the guys on this roster have to know, I'm not going to be here when this team turns it around. I'll be gone. All right, fantasy-wise. Carr, I'm not starting Carr. Coming back from the elbow injury. The run game, Lynch is gone. I think he's gone for the year on IR, groin surgery. He's done. Jalen Richard, Doug Martin. In the PPR league, I'd rather have Jalen Richard. He was catching 4 to 6 passes anyway. And now you throw in that with all the other moves here, I think he gets targeted more, gets a few more carries. Doug Martin, any running back with the pulse has value, so you're picking him up if you didn't already. Even if you're not starting this week, you still pick him up. But I'm not expecting much from the muscle hamster. Not really. Running back 3, flex play here, if you got to plug him in. But really not much that I'm looking for here at all. The passing game, yeah, Jordy Nelson gets a bump. No Amari Cooper. Someone's got to catch the ball there. But Nelson is not the wide receiver he was with Green Bay. If he was, he'd still be in Green Bay. So good luck facing the defensive coverage, the number one cornerback. But yes, he's going to get targeted more because they have no choice. I do like Jared Cook for the same reason. Got to move the ball. I think it might be easier to move the ball to Cook than it will be to Nelson. But other than that, this offense is going to have some problems, to put it nicely. Andrew Luck is fine for Indianapolis. He's back to being the Andrew Luck of old, throwing the ball. Definitely with more strength down the field here. Still not, I don't think he's all the way back yet, but I'm confident starting Andrew Luck in this game. Marlon Mack, he's not a running back one, but he's a strong running back two. T.Y. Hilton goes here. We talk about Jack Doyle. He returns. And in past years, I mean, he's a no-doubt starter. You know, Luck has been his BFF. Likes to throw the ball to Jack Doyle. But Ebron's played so well. You know, so what do we think is going to go on here? Generally, in these situations, Dan, I prefer not to start the guy coming off the injury of a long-term injury first game back. I want to see what he can do. Generally, you know, I'm not so sure you're going to be able to do that once again. It's tight end here. But if I had a choice, I'd play Ebron, sit Doyle. But they both now might cannibalize each other, and that's a problem.
All right, let's run down some DFS and any wagers you're completely on here as we close out the show in the final few minutes here. Quarterbacks, I said before, I love Aaron Rodgers. Then you do start to look down cheaper. Rodgers is expensive on DK at 6,400 comparatively to the rest of the field. Baker Mayfield, or as George called him earlier, Bayfield, is on my radar here at 5,700. Again, got some garbage time, or at least some fourth quarter stats last week that really evened him out and made for a positive week. What do you got? I honestly, quarterback's not one I'm overly comfortable with. It may be a lot of last position in, or just seeing what cash I have left over, depending on what stacks I'm going with.
You know, Bayfield could be like a new TV show. Forget Baywatch. We could have Bayfield taking place in Iowa in the cornfields. having scarecrows. That's what it'll be all about, scarecrows, scaring the crows away from the fields and how their job is so tough. Man. I'm all set for a Hollywood life. Okay, DFS quarterbacks. Like I said, I have a hard time not starting Mahomes, Dan. I mean, it's tough when this guy's getting four touchdowns a week. You know, there are other guys who I think are going to have big weeks. Aaron Rodgers, Andy Dalton. But still, Mahomes, what he adds to this team, I don't know if I can't not start him in my number one league. I mean, I'll be playing, you know, 10, 15 lineups, whatever it is. I'll have a whole bunch of quarterbacks. But as far as my number one lineup, I think I'm always positive it's going to have Mahomes in it. I just don't see how I can't do it. Unless you're going to convince me, because Denver slowed him down the first time, they'll be able to do it again. I just don't know if that's possible. My number two guy is probably going to be Aaron Rodgers. But I said, I like Goff, too, for 6,000. I think he's going to have a great game here. My only worry there is, as I'm going to say it again, is this the Todd Gurley week, where Todd Gurley is getting three rushing touchdowns, which takes away the damage that Goff can do.
Yep, I think that makes for a good analysis, and I guess Ben should be in my mix here a little bit more than I've discussed, but I just don't see it as a huge week for Ben Roethlisberger, especially at that price point. Running backs, Todd Gurley, obviously.
All right, running backs. Todd Gurley, just like Mahomes, I just said it. Every week seems to be a Todd Gurley week. He's getting three touchdowns a week, two to three touchdowns a week. I have to go with him. It's 9,800 on DraftKings. I get it. It's expensive. I do. This is why earlier in the show, when we were talking with Kenny from Philadelphia, and he brought up Herndon, this is why Herndon could make some sense. Because if you're going to spend $7,000 on Mahomes, if you're going to spend $9,800 on Gurley, you got to save somewhere. You know, your DST is only going to save you a certain amount of money. If you go with someone like Herndon, you know, who is not, I don't think he's a terrible play. I get he's not a top tight end. Nowhere near a top tight end. Overall, he's probably ranked, in my rank, I think he had him at 24. So he's ranked, not even barely ranked as a tight end two in 12-team leagues. But there's no one else to throw to there for the Jets. It's just Jermaine Kearse, right? And really, Herndon may be the number two target there. Maybe you get lucky. Yes, it's a dartboard throw, but maybe you get lucky and he gets in the end zone. So I'm not against someone like Herndon here if you're going to go with Gurley here. Barkley at 8,800, I'm staying away from. I'm looking at DraftKings, by the way. I'm staying away from Barkley at 8,800. You could certainly talk about Connor at 7,500. You know, Joe Mixon I like at 7,300. Tampa Bay is destroyed on defense. Either they weren't very good to begin with, and now they've suffered several injuries here. He's someone I could look at here. Kerryon Johnson, I like the guy. 5,300, but I'll say it again. the lack of touchdowns, the fact that Blunt's going to steal some. You need Johnson to run in 12, 14, 15-yard touchdown to get a touchdown, longer touchdowns, or else Blunt's going to steal them. He's going to vulture them. Hard to trust him. I do like Philip Lindsay, 5,200. Yes, I think Denver will be trailing. But Lindsay's not that kind of back. He's going to catch balls out of the backfield. They'll use him. I don't like Booker as much this week, but I do like Lindsay for that reason. I like Nick Chubb at 4,700. So I think Nick Chubb's a play this week. I think that could be well. Dan, who are you liking at running back?
I think it's a mix here. James Conner is somebody that I've talked up before. He's expensive, though, so that's tough to sell. Tariq Cohen. And I think you do get down to someone like Richard out there for Oakland as a potential play. You made mention when breaking down the game just from the target perspective. And 4,200 is very palatable price point there. Don't forget, coming up next here on FNTSY, it's college football today. Joe Lissy and Rich Sermonello. And they will have Marshall Faulk on the program today. So should be a fun one over there starting at 10 a.m. running up to 1 p.m. here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. So stay tuned for that at the top of the hour. George, let's close it out. Talk some wide receivers. Who do you got for wideouts as some of your top plays?
Yeah, wide receiver is, if I want to look for a position to save money on, it will certainly be wide receiver because I think you can find some guys deeper down. Listen, I'd like to get Tyreek Hill at 8,600, but I'm not going to pay for that. Antonio Brown's 8,500. I love A.J. Green. I mean, I love them all. Devontae Adams, out of all the top guys, he's probably the guy I'm looking at because I think Green Bay is going to throw all day. And I'll save, you know, the $500-$600 and go with Devontae Adams at 7,900 here. Smith-Schuster, 7,400. I like lower-end guys. Emmanuel Sanders, 6,500. You know, I have no problem going with him. I'm not going with someone like Funchess or Baldwin. I don't like their matchups. So even though they're cheaper, I'm going to stay away from there. I mentioned Tyler Gabriel earlier. I forget who the caller was. I think it was Art from Tampa Bay. 5,100. Allen Robinson's banged up. Hamstring may or may not play or may just not be the same player. If he is playing, maybe more of a decoy, even that. He's someone I'm going to look at there because I just like what he can bring here. 5,100, I think, is a pretty nice price. Jordy Nelson. We talked about it earlier. No one else to throw to there. They're going to be trailing. Yep. 4,700. He's someone I will look at for that reason. I mentioned Christian Kirk. If you want to save some money here, you know, it's not so much him as it is that secondary is terrible. 4,500. Curse is 4,300. So I will look at him as well.
I would throw Godwin into the mix here as a cheaper value at 4,500. Sutton from Denver, I think, has the upside at 3,800 as well to be a home run threat in the week. Obviously, getting more and more targets and potential at Demaryius Thomas gets dealt as this season, as the trade season comes to a close on Tuesday. So I think you're going to see Cortland Sutton get more and more targets as the year goes on. Tight ends, always you have Zach Ertz and then you have everybody else. When it comes to the London game, I don't know where my brain just went. When you have the England game there, you have Ertz. But from the tight ends on the slate, there's not a ton to love. So I would really just try to find someone cheap. You know, you heard Kenny ask about Herndon before. That's a potential upside play at 2,800. And Hyerman, I think, for Denver is intriguing me a bit more as I look through here at 2,600. So, George, great stuff as always. As I said, don't forget, coming up next, college football today, Marshall Faulk will be on with them. So you want to stay tuned with Joe Lissy and Rich Sermonello, getting you ready for college football leading up to noon kickoffs and 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. here on the East Coast for that show. Week 8 will be a fun one. Maybe not the marquee matchups that we've seen week over week, but there are some fun games to sit down and watch as we take it all in. George, any final thoughts on week number 8?
Just remember, everybody, we have the early England game again, the early London game. Was at 9:30 a.m. Eastern start. Set your lineups.
That's going to do it for our radio program here on this Saturday morning. George and I are with you every Saturday, 8 to 10 a.m. for Fantasy Sports Today. At George Kurtz, at Dan Stravert on Twitter, and of course, at FNTSY Radio. Appreciate everybody listening. Stay tuned for college football today. We'll be back with you next week on Fantasy Sports Today, Saturday edition.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own. surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.